Father, we come before you, great God, so thankful for our family in Christ, for the strength that you give us to go from glory to glory. Not strength to go from comfort to comfort, although you do comfort us, but you also provide for us the trials and the grace and the faith that we understand we're able to endure because of Christ and because of the body. We thank you so much that we have a family that we can rest with and praise you together and grow together and understand your great plan. We thank you for providing us your word and the opportunities like this, which are so privileged and they're precious, Father, to us. We know that very few people have their eyes open on this earth to really truly understand grace and faith and how Christ is the end of the law. We pray tonight for Crystal and her father, James, that you will give peace to them and the great struggle that this is causing in Diana's life, that she can be blessed and able to be growing through these experiences and seeing your hand in all of it, Father. Grant them peace, and we pray that peace will come to that family and that Crystal will see Christ in Diana and be blessed to come out of that struggle and that turmoil that's so evident right now. We also thank you for Deb, who's with us tonight, for her courage and strength that you've given her, Father. The light she's been to the body of Christ is truly a blessing. And we pray that she is not fearful and that she is held up and strengthened and continues to believe in you through all this incredible trial of her health. We pray for Michelle's mom, who's in the hospital with psychosis, that you be merciful to her, and are very grateful for Michelle's spirit, Father, her ability to put these things into perspective too. Someone wrote beautifully, when our families leave us, when our physical families leave us, you will be there for us. And we are here for her, and we are here for each other. And we're so grateful, Father, for that privilege to know that we see and understand that water is actually thicker than blood because of the Spirit of Christ that makes us one body and one bread. We pray for Nick Smith's family next door, whoever they are and whatever it is that's happened, it's obviously affected our brother deeply, and it's affected us because we know we're connected, Father, whether today or tomorrow. And we ask that you will be merciful to this family and help Nick to understand the trial and give him the ability to pray fervently for them and to do whatever he can to reach out and be a witness for this family who have gone through so much. We also were saddened here about Lindell's accident, but also, just as in our case, Father, we saw the prayers of the saints avail much for her, and we're so grateful that you're bringing healing to that family and for the love that is formed through these trials. We see how merciful you are and how your healing comes to us. And we thank you very much for healing Lyndall, and continue to heal her, Father, and watch over them. We ask your blessing upon Angela, who's gone through this really painful episode with the needle that hit a nerve in her. I've had that happen in my mouth, and it is so painful. Please have mercy on her and comfort her, Father, and bring healing to her shoulder. We pray for Tony Jr., who was evicted, that you will give him peace and strength to find work and find a place, Father, whatever has brought about these circumstances, that Mary can continue to be blessed to pray fervently for them and see your hand in all of it, because she can be such a great encourager. And we pray that you will use her, Father, to pick up Tony. And we ask for your blessing upon the sale of Pete and Wendy's house, and are continuing to pray for that, Father, that you will intervene. The house is, I should say, for Wendy's. And we pray now for Teresa's children, and that they will be comforted. And if I understand, I mean, that's really what we're asking, for peace and healing in their lives, and that her ex-husband, who's on methadone, will be comforted until his last breath, and most importantly, Father, that the children will be given peace and strength through this great trial. So we ask for your blessing upon Teresa too, as this is hard to see her children go through this this suffering, and to see their father suffer is very, very hard. Please give her the wisdom and hold her up so that she can be a strength and a blessing to them. We pray for Georgie's dad, that you continue to bring healing and keep him safe, Father. And we thank you for the fact that he is home and he's using a cane, and that so many wonderful miracles have happened in that family. And we see you softening their hearts, and who knows why all of this is happening. Maybe you're preparing our families for the resurrection of the saints, and we may be that close to our Lord's return. Help us to believe all things. Help us to trust you, Father, as we die daily, and understand that every circumstance, every bruise, not only in our lives but in the lives of others, is setting the stage for the return. Like Mike said, it's all in God's hands, and it's all working to that end, that we can save the world. So help us to see that bigger picture, so we don't grow weary, because we will see many people's love wax cold. We will see more things happening on this earth as we near the end of the age. We also want to pray for Mary and Anel, that you hold them up and bless them and comfort them, Father. And I think of some of the women as spiritual widows in that sense. They don't have so much someone to be close to them in the word, and yet you provide so abundantly through this body that we are married to you, Lord, and we feel loved, we feel encouraged. We also want to pray for Bobby's healing and Fanny's strength and patience through this trial now, with a car that has to be fixed and everything that our sister's gone through. And we're very grateful for your hand working in her life, the witness that she provided through this accident for all of us and for the people that were around her. Please continue to have mercy on her family. And we thank you now for this study. We ask for your blessing upon everyone here, that our eyes, our ears will be open to understand grace, and how true grace is formed through trials. And it is through your hand that we can stand. And you alone, Father, are the one who is making it possible for us to endure. So we thank you for that, and ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And that's the end of the study. I'm kidding. But that was a long prayer, but I think it was needful, and every now and then that's just going to happen as the Lord leads us. So we do have a lot to be thankful for, and certainly that ties into the study, because we're talking tonight about grace, and we're talking about how the Lord makes us this peculiar people who are peculiar because of the trials and the understanding of how God is working all things according to the counsel of his will. And it is a loving will. It's a will that is working out a purpose that, of course, we know will redeem all of mankind. So we rejoice in it, and we find strength in the midst of it. And I was thinking of that verse where it says, we don't mourn as others. Well, that's a day-to-day is, was, and will be statement, because when we die daily and we're bruised and we go through trials, our trials, that they hurt, they're real, and they do cause us to mourn, to see our family suffer. But there's always that element of not mourning as others, because we can go to our Father, we can go to each other, and we can realize, wait a minute now, God is in the midst of this. This is true grace, and we're going to stand in this, and we're going to go through these trials, and he's going to purify us. So that's really what the study is about tonight. That's a brief overview, and I'll start with the verses. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. So I start off by saying, surely Christ took our stripes upon himself. And remember now, we are Christ, we are Christ's body, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You may be thinking of Galatians 2:20. And resisted sin unto the shedding of blood, Hebrews 12:4. He stood in the true grace and was enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit and the angels of God that ministered to him throughout his life to be able to stand, setting an example for us of how we can stand and be as Christ in this life. As he is, so are we. Whether we resist sin to the point of literally being martyred and having our blood shed is not the point of this verse in Hebrews 11 that talks about resisting sin unto the shedding of blood, but rather is a reminder or an admonition for God's elect that we, as one collective spiritual body, are dying daily by standing in the true grace of God, which washes the saints with the blood of Christ, transforming the carnal mind of the first man, Adam, and each of us. So Revelation 7:14 reads, "And I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We could say we must through much tribulation wash our robes with the blood of the Lamb. So that we can be fitly framed and set in the body of as God has determined, united. So this is why God is giving us these trials and why the body of Christ has to be washed. United by the same blood or word of God that we share and don't think above. So we're united by the same blood, the same word of God that we don't think above. And of course we have 1 Corinthians 4:6. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself unto Apollos for your sakes, for the life blood of the body of Christ, that you might learn in us not to think above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." And that really is to have the same mind, to not have lust or envy or jealousy. That's just the carnal first man, Adam, that has to be recognized and destroyed and pulled down through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ showing us that we are more than conquerors through him. Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." And of course, it's a process. Being formed through the gift that God has given the elect in this age to resist sin unto the shedding of blood, which is another way of saying we are putting off our fleshly, carnal ways or conversations of seeing and thinking as we become sanctified vessels of honor that glorify God in this earth. Here's another way of looking at the word or the blood of Christ, how it sanctifies us. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, telling us that there is the process, that the sanctification process is happening little by little, bit by bit. When we came here, Gail and I have been observing that, you know, all of the different challenges in this building. And you go into cleanup mode right away. It's like Christ walking into the temple. It's like there's so much to do here, so many things. And there's a lot of good things happening. There was a lot of things that needed to change. So we're asking the Lord for wisdom. We're asking him for strength, but we're also realizing that he's answering us in his timing. Little by little, he's removing the beasts, you know, within and without. I'm not saying this isn't applying to us too, because we are truly learning a lot about ourselves when we deal with, I feel like we're becoming like social workers here, but that's another story. But the point being, God gives us the challenges and he gives us the victory in his time. He drives the beast out of the land so that we don't become toughed up, and we remember that he's preparing us so that one day, God willing, we can be used to be saviors to these very people that we work with today. We are being mercifully grafted into his body and not rejected, but accepted in the beloved. Through this process of grace and faith that is needed and necessary for the elect to endure through today, if we're going to become that healthy branch that God will use to show mercy to the rest of the world, who will be grafted into the body of Christ in due time. So these verses are just so powerful. We know them, but if we can think of it in terms of grace and standing, because when the branch is healthy, you're standing. And when you're a healthy branch in Christ, then you have the ability to graft another branch into you. And so God calls us to recognize that we are going through so much because we have to be healthy and ready to receive the world and understand that the world will be broken and the world will be humbled greatly before they can really come up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem above. And of course the flesh will come up initially to want to destroy Jerusalem. We take care to not have dominion over each other's faith, which is a gift given to each of us. And God willing, are part of that process of faithfully helping each other inherit this inheritance through the washing of the word and resisting of sin unto the shedding of blood, receiving as joint heirs in that faith the salvation that God is giving us through Christ. In Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Putting off the flesh and living and knowing that our labor is not in vain. We are living a very purposeful, full, abundant life in Christ because we're able to put off the flesh by the grace and the faith of God. So Satan would love us to think that this is all for naught. But he said that to Christ. He came up to me, if you be the Son of God. Well, we are the Son of God. We are Jesus Christ. And we have to hold fast to that and ask God to reassure us of our sonship and everything that he's doing. Here it says in Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There's the imagery of Romans 11 again. We're joint heirs. We're connected to the root. We don't boast against the root, but we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We confess our faults to each other and follow the pattern of sound words in Matthew 18 that reconcile us to Christ in one another. And in following these patterns, we see yet again another example of how we resist the carnal ways of our first man, Adam, who does not want to deal with the messiness of sin, both within ourselves and our family. In Matthew 18:15, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. So I never thought of it that way, but that's the grafting process right there. That's how we graft each other, because we're not only going to receive the world, but we have to continue to cover each other's sins by going to our brother and helping in that grafting process and making this branch strong so that we can receive others. So there's great exercise and great promise as God works these things within us. Covering a transgression can only happen after the sin becomes evident within us. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we disregard sin in the body, it will eventually be found out and God will bring it to light. And that's in Numbers 32:23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And of course it does, because we live every word. And God is merciful to us to expose. It says his goodness leads us unto repentance. He is the one doing it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so here's the type and the two sort of polar opposite proverbs. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. In Proverbs 28:13, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. And of course, we know God's working all of that, and we're learning mercy through that process. This study will look at the true grace that we are blessed to be experiencing in this age, as God gives us what we need to be able to stand in this age as the body of Christ that is being cleansed through this process of grace and faith, which enables us to stand. And I've mentioned that several times, but we all know the verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So God is telling us, of course, that there is a spiritual war, and we need to realize that the army of Gideon is needed, and we need to be that healthy, strong army that's grafted into Christ, so that we can know how to stand when the evil days come, and when the accusers come, and when, like we talked about before the study, when the world comes up and says, well, you know, who do you think you are? And why do you think this? And why do you think that? And we finally have to say, well, I'm not going to even give any word in that day, because God will give audience and witness to us through us, because we're a healthy body. And we'll speak only that which God has predetermined for us to say. Psalm 63:7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. If God is our helper, who can be against us, comes to mind as we read this part of verse 7 in Psalm 63. Because you have been my help. But what we also note as being very significant is where God provides that help, which is in the shadow of thy wings. In Revelation 4, verses 8 to 11, the four beasts which had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. That's the sanctification process being discussed. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, such a beautiful part of scripture. There is no pride. There is no vanity. There's just absolute acknowledgement of God being the one who's done the work. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. That kind of answers Romans 8:2, you know, where it says, where we ask, well, why did you cause me to err? Well, there's part of the answer right there. Anything that has a shadow has to have a physical object to cast it. And God is invisible and casts no shadow. And of course, that's why we get lost and trapped by the law and make so much a big deal about the law when we're in the court, telling us that this shadow of his wing that we just talked about is referring to the body of Christ, which has the Spirit of God in earnest. So even now, we have the Spirit of God in earnest and have been raised in heavenly places. Although we yet see through a glass darkly, because of the shadow that flesh still casts in our hearts. And that's what it means when it says, you know, if we say we don't have sin in us, we deceive ourselves. We're still in sinful flesh. We're in sinful vessels. And God makes sure that we understand that, so that we can truly be able to save the world with that same mindset that Christ has to say, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. When Christ is resurrected and the Spirit was sent on Pentecost, the Church of God became the shadow of thy wings. This shadow is something that we rejoice in, knowing that there is peace and love and strength there. But this shadow and earnest joy that we share today as the body of Christ is going to pass away into something much greater and uninhibited by the restrictions that flesh bring upon us. And so there's the corruption of flesh. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And 2 Corinthians 5, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. And we see that as we mature, we see Christ in each other. We expect it, we anticipate it, and we rejoice in that the Lord is at hand. And where the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. So we see this liberty in the body of Christ, the liberty to go through trials, the liberty to be able to pray for one another, the liberty to know that God is, that we're more than conquerors through Christ, that all things are working together for good, that we are truly one bread and one spirit, and that God is working all of that. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And I think I read some of those. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there's that idea of the shadow. The gift is given and it's received in these bodies of corruptible flesh. And that's why without that knowledge that we are revealing Christ and Christ was revealing the Father, if we're just pointing to Christ, as many people do, in the flesh, then we're not really revealing the Father at all. And anything in the flesh, there is a variable there. It's flesh. It's corrupt. And it has to be put off, including Christ's flesh. In Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible, speaking of Moses, who is a type of Christ. John 1:5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I just want to make a comment about Moses, and I hope I can get this all out. It's interesting how Moses is not understood for who he was. I heard someone on an audio saying that Moses was the greatest prophet. And this particular gentleman believes very much in the Sabbath and in the law, and pointed to scriptures that talked about the beginning of the law and the prophets and of the apostles was based on the law of Moses. But that's not true, because Christ's own words said that of men born of women, there's none greater than John. And John was a prophet. And the least is greater than John. So we were talking about that last night, how as long as we exalt flesh, as long as we put flesh of any man, including Christ, and not recognize the variable that's there, we're not revealing the true gospel. We're not revealing the Father. We're still in the earth, so to speak. And if we're in the earth, we're going to be yet carnal and yet deceived. And that's why there are so many different churches. And that's why the body of Christ is so privileged to know that Christ is truly the end of the law, the end of that. In Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I think I'm going to stop right there. Is there any comments on any part of the study up to this point? And Paul, your hand is up there.
Yeah, Tony, a verse has just been coming to mind the whole time here. If I could just read the first two verses of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Now, the body of Christ is right now in a body of flesh that does cast a shadow, but the reality is the Spirit of God in us.
Amen. Nicely said, Paul.
Thank you, Tony.
Beautiful. We're saved by that hope, the hope of glory, and reminded and encouraged through the Word of God. And the Lord is doing it all. The Father drags us to Christ, and even in our weakness, in fact, sometimes more than any time, His power rests upon us when we're weak. And causes us to stand. So that's the great dichotomy. The world doesn't understand that it's through much tribulation, much putting off of the flesh, that we inherit the kingdom and stand. Having done all, stand. Having done what? Having been going through the tribulation, that's what enables us to stand, because God works through that weakness. And thank you, Paul, for bringing those verses to light, because that really helps. Brighten up that point. And we got a phone ringing in the background. Gail's going to go answer that. Mike, did you have your hand up? Or were you...
Yes, I did. Thank you so much for making that point about the body of Christ being the wings, the shadow of His wings, that we can actually see and go to while we're in these clay vessels. I really appreciated that. I got just a You know, Christ made the statement. He said, how often would I, talking about Jerusalem, talking about us, how often would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not?
Wow.
That's Matthew 23:37. But I had two other verses I wanted to mention. That's Ruth 2:12. Boaz, I think, talking to Ruth, the Lord recompense you, or maybe... Maybe this is not Boaz. I didn't check the context. But it says, the Lord recompense you, and a full reward be given you of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you are come to trust. Ruth left her life behind, left her old religion, her family, and everything.
Wow.
To Naomi. And then in Psalm 17, verse 8, David says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. I've always appreciated those verses, but knowing now what the shadow of His wings is, it just has so much more meaning. And I hope that we all get what you got out of that, that we are the shadow of God's wings. We are Christ, because Christ is the shadow of God's wing, and that's who we are.
Amen, Mike. Thank you so much. That is so encouraging, that idea about the chicks. My mom grew up on a farm, and she used to tell me, and I remember you mentioning that story. I think Sandy had mentioned it too, how the chickens can hear, the little chicks can hear the mother's voice amongst all of the other chicks.
Oh, yes.
And that is just a beautiful parable for us to remind us that we hear, and it says in 1 John 4:6, they that hear us are of us. And so we are blessed to hear these verses with the mind of Christ and to know that we've come under that wing. Thank you for all of that.
Can I add a little something? I just talked about the chicks. It just dawned on me that those chicks know their mother's voice before they're even hatched out, because she's making little clicky noises to them.
Mm. Ah.
Time is near. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like we're still in the egg, you know. Mm-hmm. We hear the sound of the shepherd, and you know, once we're hatched, you know, into spirit beings, and of course we're gonna see Him as He is.
That's beautiful, Sandy. We're predestined, and that's what the Scripture says from the foundation of the world. God says He's prepared us. And the world will just come to acknowledge that one day. God does what He wants to do with what he does with his, with that which was his. And the point is for all of us to see that he is sovereign. And I appreciate what you just brought out there, because that really makes it clear. The physical does reveal the spiritual there very clearly. I'm not sure who was next. Betty, I think.
Yes. You got me undone?
Yes.
Okay. In Exodus 19:4 says, "You have seen what I did under the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." And then in Deuteronomy 32:11, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings."
Oh, that's beautiful. 32:11. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." And that really, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And don't we feel that way, Betty? You know, the Lord is cleansing us of all the strange gods that we've had. But it's a beautiful scripture you're bringing up, because he does it under the wing. He does it in the body of Christ. The blood of Christ is sanctified and purified under the wing. It's all saying the same thing, that we're blessed to come under that wing.
I see where verse 10 has the same one, like Mike said a while ago, about it kept him as apple of his eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that, Betty.
Beautiful. Thank you, Betty. And our sister Ursula. We didn't hear you there.
I'm really excited about this song. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just get a little closer to the mic for Ursula.
So now?
Yeah, I think you're clear there now.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I just have another witness of this that we sang, and that is in Psalm 91, verse 11 to 13. That is also saying the same, that this is speaking about the body of Christ. And I saw it a while back, and I was so excited. I'm excited you say we're talking about it today.
Amen. Do you want me to read that?
You can read it.
I'll read it for you. To which verse do you want me to read? To 13, eh? Okay.
13.
"For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet."
Yeah.
Wow.
You see, that scripture is the one in the New Testament that says we must submit to our overseers that are given charge over our souls, or to look over our souls, because that scripture is telling us that if we stay in the body, they will help us to get rid of this false doctrine. We will not dash our foot against a stone, means we will not get offended. And because that's how we fall, is by the offense, by stone, the rock of offense.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. It's beautiful. It's saying that. It's saying if you stay in the body and you submit to your elders, they will teach you good doctrine and help you see false doctrine. And then you will not be overcome by the serpent.
Amen. That's beautiful. That's incredible.
Thank you, Ursula. That really is good.
Yeah. That's very good. And just wonderful. You know, Christ told his disciples that the leaven of the Pharisees, that's what he told them to beware of. And how do you prevent it? Well, this is the verse that you're saying. That's what I'm thinking of, how there's safety in a multitude of counselors. There's safety in the body of Christ. your safety and coming under the wings. But every part of that wing is important. Every part provides that nourishment and that strength, because Moses' hands were held up like two wings. And so even the wings that feed us, and of course we know this, this is the whole, the amazing thing about the body of Christ is that every part is healing every other part, and everything is working together for good. But it's recognizing, like Ursula's saying here, that there is a structure, there is an order, and God says that we're protected through that. And we have Matthew 18, you know. We can always measure ourselves against the word of God. And if we're faithful, granted to be faithful, that is what will purify us by following the pattern that God is showing us. So thank you for that, Ursula, so much.
Tony, I just want to comment on what Ursula said.
Yes, please.
I had a conversation with Pete the other day about the word rule.
I'm in the middle.
And I needed to.
I really must go, and I don't.
Need to look at it, and I did, and it just says more or less what Ursula is saying here, and I just am taken with that because I'd never seen that like that. You know, I knew that the devil was wrong when he said cast yourself down, but I forgot who the angels were. You know, the angel is the one that falls down, that we fall down at his feet to worship, and he says that I'm one of you. So it's really interesting that she would bring that up. That's just what I'll be talking about on Sunday, because like you said, Tony, we're very careful not to, you know, exercise dominion over each other's faith.
Yes.
But that does not mean that we do not have all power over all the power of the enemy. We do.
Yes, Mike. Yes.
And we do have dominion over false doctrine in the body. We have dominion over that.
Amen.
And like she said, Hebrews 13, verse 17, submit yourselves to, be persuaded of your leaders.
Yeah.
Be persuaded of your leaders and defer to them. Defer to them. Don't give them a hard time. You know, they're there to, they've been doing it for years. We're doing our best to do everything exactly like the Bible says and to keep you from hitting your foot against a stone.
Wow. You know, just hearing you, I know Ursula, just a beautiful point, and I just love how the Lord helps me understand, because I understood it, but now I'm getting it more congealed, you know, in my mind, what we're talking about here. And it is just human nature to see the man, to know Christ after the flesh. And that's not a good thing. We need to see and recognize that God has ordained.
That's right, Tony. That's right.
What's happening for our good, yes.
We know no man after the flesh. We don't know Christ after the flesh.
Yeah.
And we are Christ.
Amen. And I mean, that's just a mystery to the world, because the world is very much an organization, and we are an organism, and that's what separates us, because there's structure in that organism, very much so. Just like in a physical body, there's incredible structure, but it's a mystery too, because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and the world doesn't see that. So we try the spirits. I mean, this is what people say, well, you're a cult, you know, you have people who are leaders. No, we're subject unto each other as unto Christ, and we are blessed because we recognize Christ in each other, and we hear the voice of the true shepherd in each other, and that strengthens us, and we're strengthened every time we come together knowing that we are Jesus Christ, not putting anyone above another, but coming to see and understand what these verses are telling us. So I feel very blessed that we're talking about these things, and thank you all for these contributions. I see Paul's hand up there. You've been waiting patiently.
Okay, Tony, if I could just wait one more comment to make this ties it up. That can be read two ways, the rule well, because it's the more mature that rule their land well, and so their faith follow. And if the flesh wants to hear it as rule, the flesh is going to bristle, and you're dealing with flesh there. So in the spiritual, it's the one who rules his land spiritually, and he rules well, and so their faith follow.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. That I don't know why, but that makes me think of the difference between a hireling and a true shepherd. You know, looking over the land, looking over the flock, both assign the same job, but if Christ is running the show, then the results will be drastically different, because Christ lays down his life for the sheep, and he's not in it for himself. He's not trying to, you know, there's no vainglory there. And that's what ruling over the land well means, because God knows that has to be burned out of all of us. But in the end, we will, God willing, be Joseph and say, "See, you do it not. We are your fellow servants. We know. We've been gone through the mill, so to speak. We've been humbled. We've been bruised. We've been in prison. We've been sold into slavery." All of that happens as a type and shadow of what God has to do to prepare us to receive the world, to graft the world into Jesus Christ, who we are. But we have to be not kidding ourselves in order to be that branch that's healthy, that can graft others in. We have to go through much tribulation so that we are a people who have been humbled like Joseph was, and truly will understand the sovereignty of God in our heart of hearts, and they will know it. And of course, it'll take a process for them to come to finally realize that God is going to nourish them and love them just as he does us every day. So, Paul, I appreciate that, and every comment that you make, and everyone else. It's been a real blessing for us here. Thank you. Wendy, you had your hand up there.
Took it down. That's okay. I don't think it was very relevant. It was just as you guys were all talking. Anyway, I came in late, so I just want to say hi and thank you so much for the study. But as y'all were talking about under the shadow of the wing, and how the Lord spoke to the Pharisees about how he wanted to gather them, but they would not and such. Anyway, I just kind of heard something I had read that Nicholas wrote last night, The Comforter, and part of that came to my mind. That's all that was.
Well, thank you. I may not have read that yet. I haven't got to my email, but I'll look forward to that, Wendy.
It was just towards the end. Can I read the last line?
Yes.
Do you mind?
Loud.
Okay. And it may not apply, but it just, like I said, it just kind of came to my mind as I am. I'm online right now. I don't know who that is. Oh, it's my neighbor. I hear her. Anyway, it says, here it is. I just love what it says here. Stunned in early morning silence, praying for a savior before having a word. And for whatever reason, that just kind of came to my mind as y'all were talking.
Wow, that is beautiful. I think I know what my spirit tells me when I hear that, is that we hear the voice of Christ best when we're out of the way, when we're crushed. And that's really what the study's about tonight, talking about how we come under that wing. And it's through grace, it's through the bruising. And if we think about the gold image, you know, the image of the cherubim, the one cherubim, the wings touching, how gold is purified and how it's made and processed through heat and trials and symbolic trials to make that wing one. And so that's where the Word of God resides powerfully, when we are out of the way, and God is merciful to bring us to that place where we're able to get out of the way and heal each other, and then ultimately heal the nations with the those healing wings. So thank you, Wendy. That was relevant, and I appreciate it. I appreciate Nicholas.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you all.
Tony, I just want to say that Christ was under his Father's wing even as he was on the cross. It's got to do with giving us the life that's going to last forever. And we may indeed have to give up this life, but we're still under God's wing.
He never leaves or forsakes us.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Mike. Deb says, bye all, and thank you so much for the great studying discussion. I have to go. I just want to thank you all. Love, Deb. Okay, so we got to verse 8. And what time do you
have?
Okay, so we'll do another verse. We have time. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. If we followeth hard after thee, it is because Christ's right hand upholdeth me, that we can continue to endure this following hard wrestling match with the Lord through the night. Whether we know it or not, we are being dragged into spiritual combat when we are dragged to the Lord, where we are cleansed of darkness, because we are being drawn to walk in the light of Christ. 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's because we're dragged to Christ into that purifying light, into this wrestling match through the night, that we are being saved and sanctified. That is grace. That is faith. Just so many different ways of saying the same thing, but that is also how we stand. We may stand with a limp, like Jacob in the morning, but we will stand, and we'll be different from the world, because we'll have that limp, and we'll be people who have been humbled. The whole world lives and moves and has their being within Christ, as it says in Acts 17:28. And he is the author of every book of life, and how those books intertwine with our own books. It's funny and amusing to consider even the animals, the way God uses the physical world around us. Not that they have a book per se that's an eternal book, but they have an eon and an age that God uses. We can see from that perspective that there is no lack of spiritual resources, books written and being written to intertwine with our own, that God can use to accomplish what he has already declared from the beginning will be accomplished in each of us. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. It is an evil experience that we are called unto in this life, and it humbles us both from what happens to us individually and how we see the Lord working with the rest of the world in the other fold. But we ought to take great refuge and hope in the fact that thy right hand upholdeth me, because it is through this process of being held up that all the giants of our land, within and without, become bread for us. And that's in Numbers 14:9. And they enable us to become more than conquerors through Christ. So we're nourished through the trials. Only rebel not you against the Lord. It's just another way of saying, don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap if you faint not. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And, you know, Revelation is a perfect verse to talk about right now, because some of you will be put into prison. He says, fear not, be faithful for those 10 days, symbolic of our flesh. Don't be afraid of this life. The Lord is being glorified in our lives through these experiences. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We do more than overcome the beast within. We become more than conquerors through Christ in time, after we are strengthened by the experiences of evil that we go through and the much tribulation which follow us throughout this life. These experiences in a converted mind strengthen us and help us bring the beast that we are into subjection unto Christ within each other, so that we then receive the benefit of every joint that supplies to the body of Christ. And that's how we are grafted into each other's lives. That's the benefit of going through trials, because you can understand your brother better, your sister, and you're grafted into their relationship more and more, and it grows in it, and it folds in on itself. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. In Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for you, Christ speaking to Peter, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, when you are a strong, healthy branch, strengthen thy brethren. Give us this day our daily bread. Should take on a new meaning to God's elect now, as we are commanded to follow after Christ day by day, denying ourselves and carrying our cross. It is therefore in the carrying of our cross that we are nourished, and it is because we are given to follow hard after Christ that we in fact are able to labor for the meat which does not perish. The meat is not just the word of God, but the word being tried and tested through the daily experiences that God mercifully drags us into, where we learn that thy right hand upholdeth me. In Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And 1 Peter, if we put that together with 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, so you hear the word, but then the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, where you are that cherub, and where you are raised in heavenly places with the body of Christ. And I just thought this seems to tie nicely into the study. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 right to the end, message to the elders, I call it. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Hopefully that is God, what God is working in, and I'm convinced he is in each of our lives. A message to each of us. Likewise, you youngers, submit yourselves unto the elders, just like Ursula was saying. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. So it's not just to the elders, it's to one another. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a lion, a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. In the body of Christ, we resist Satan, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, and this is what we just read, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So God has an end game. It's not for nothing that he's putting us through these trials. He's making us perfect, establishing us. He's strengthening and settling us so that we can graft others into the same loving family that we've become through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. A message to a faithful brother, and this is the last part, and will be the last verse that we'll look at tonight. 1 Peter 5:12 by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. This was the title of our study tonight. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's our last verse. Any comments on any part of the study? It's been a great blessing. Really.
Amen to that. It was a good, really good study.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everyone. We love you all. And we are so happy.